What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Dante back in the building. You already know where to follow me, where to follow my guy Malik and Sid. We're back with episode 5 of the High and Outside podcast. We've been gone for a minute, but you know, baseball is really rolling now, so we feel like we now have enough content to get back to our consistent weekly schedule. So today is the first of the three-man weave. You see my boy Sid, you see the hat, you see what time it is. We know what it is. Game 3 tonight. A certain, you know, commander-in-chief will be in the building. That's kind of messing up the mojo, but overall I think it's going to be an amazing experience. First finals game in the Garden since 99.
You know what's crazy? My earliest sports memory is losing to San Antonio in 1999. And then in 2000, the Mets lost to the Yankees. And so, I'm not going to hold you. That orange bastard can't ruin my day. It's orange and blue skies forever. I don't care about him at all.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a beautiful night. The Carl Towns redemption tour continues. I think he's going to get that Iggy MVP. I know Jalen Brunson is the guy the media wants to give it to, but I do think Carl Towns is going to get
Jalen's that. Jalen's been playing like shit.
Yeah, he's
been phoning it in, but fuck it, we here. As long as he hit the shot at the end, I don't give a... Oh,
I know it's 2-0, but I mean, you win tonight, and you truly, you know... You don't pack it in, but you don't. You know, you got a little cushion. You get to really start to put things into perspective here. First title since 79. You know, if you get it done. So
yeah,
I mean, shout out to the Knicks fans. I know a lot of people are like anti-Knicks, anti-New York. You know, we really hate the fans, but for me, I think anytime sports history can happen, anytime you can see something like, you know, a major, you know, the major sports city in America. Let's just be real. It's kind of like the vibes when I went back home for the Crosstown Classic. My best friend's a Cubs fan. I'm a White Sox fan. And when you're walking through the city and everybody's wearing gear and the entire city's buzzing because something special is happening, even though with these teams, it's just more so making the playoffs. But in New York, you know, we know the energy that's always been there. But to have it in the finals, you know, you got the mayor in the standing room only section.
It's
very New York, and so I mean I think tonight's gonna be very special. But let's get into what we came to talk about and what's not gonna be special. That's gonna be the crux of this episode. The CBA bargains have officially begun. They have officially begun. We have two initial offers from both sides. I'll read the Players Association side first, and then we'll go into what the owner's counter offer was and what we have said for the past, you know, 6 months now that there's going to be a lockout. You can write it in stone unless these numbers get a lot higher, and that can stay, but that's not going to happen. But let's go into what the players wanted, which, you know, seems extremely reasonable. It's just, they usually do come on the reasonable side, and I'm not just saying this as, you know, I am pro player, but at the end of the day, I think sometimes from a business aspect, we have to step back and realize, you know, this is millionaires and multimillionaires arguing against billionaires. So the perspectives are there. So let them lay it out on the table and we just go. I don't have the same, you know, gung-ho energy as a lot of people do with this, even though I'm going to be pro player throughout. So here are the key points of the Players Association offer. Free agency and arbitration. Expanded free agency for players with 5+ years of service who are at least 30 years old. Expanded arbitration eligibility, and enhanced contract guarantees. Now, for the salary system, you would have an increased luxury tax threshold and new competitive integrity tax to penalize teams that don't meet minimum payroll benchmarks. That's their version of a salary floor. You know, you spend a certain amount, and, you know, you get what you pay for. No cap. There's a key in there. They have no salary cap. They would like to keep it the way it is currently. Anti-tanking, which really expanded draft lottery from 6 to 8 teams and expanded rules to combat service time manipulation. That's something that, you know, they thought they got rid of in the last CBA, but you still have had some teams that have been able to circumvent some things and keep players down for, you know, X amount of days just so they don't get their just due. So they're going to get rid of that. And player compensation is expansion of the pre-arbitration bonus pool and increased benefits for lower revenue clubs that lose players to free agency. So, you know, if you do spend, you are more low market, but, you know, not one of the top guys because everybody's making money. But and you lose one of your superstar guys and they know it's harder for you to attract free agents, they will, you know, bless you with a little compensation, you know, kind of like cash considerations as we see that all the time. Now the
Paul Skeens leaves the Pirates.
Yeah.
Someone won't be as upset as they were the day they lost Paul Skeens.
Exactly. Which, you know, you can write that down right now and pin. But
oh yeah, no, he's going to the Mets. Oh yeah, for sure.
Just need to hit
him. No way.
Yeah.
There's no way he goes anywhere else.
Now, this is where it gets tricky. We knew the owners were gonna come with this, and they were pretty upfront with it. They went directly for salary cap, ceiling, and floor. The floor is $171 million. The ceiling would be $245 million. They say there's room for growth there, in terms of both floor and ceiling, based on the revenue that the team makes. And they also spoke about less sharing of the local TV contracts, which they discussed a 50-50 revenue split with the players. Now, you know, they feel as though, you know, with the way TV deals have grown, the way teams have gotten TV networks and things of that nature, those numbers will continue to grow as, you know, the industry grows. We all know that a lot of these numbers, you know, are kind of ridiculous. And so to, you know, hang your hat on that, it's kind of the wishing and the hoping that we talked about pre-show. And I know, Sid, I'll let you get into that. But that's the basis of both offers. Now, for me, I was saying a while back, you know, I think a salary cap was, well, I knew they were going to offer it. I think that I felt the ceiling was going to be at least 300. Like, you know, I feel like at least giving a little more leeway, you know, just off the strength that even though they say you would only ask, you basically only be asking four teams, and I'll pull up the chart while you all are speaking, but I believe it's only four teams that will have to cut payroll, and it's like 10 that will have to add to their payroll. So, Sid, I'll go to you first, and I'm going to ISO box, man, because you got your Knicks hat on. I want everybody to see it. How are you feeling about these first initial offers and where these negotiations are headed? Because, I mean, like we've been saying, we've been preaching, baseball is in such a great space, and we would really hate to lose it to, you know, an arbitration talk. I mean, I'm sorry, labor agreement.
So run the number by me again for the salary cap and floor that the owners proposed.
The owners proposed a $245.3 million hard salary cap and a hard salary floor of $171.2 million.
Oh, this is terrible. 'Cause I have the chart up right now. Oh gosh. Oh no, that's bad. Yeah, so 272, that means the Detroit Tigers are at 208, San Diego is at 213, and they're still trying to shed payroll. The Cubs are at 218, Houston's at 239, Atlanta's at 266. Oh, yeah, no, that's never going to work. Just talking about revenue split with local TV, I don't like, maybe they're expecting people to not know how like national media works, but like there's no just getting rid of blackouts. There's no just offering TV revenue. Like that doesn't happen in that way. We said it in pre-show, but like that sounds like the kid running for class president in fifth grade when he says an extra 10 minutes of recess and ice cream for lunch every day. Like, that's not what you're here to do. But it just feels like these are two forces that are diametrically opposed. And, you know, we talk so much about how much money is in baseball because of how good it is. But like, as we're getting more and more into you know what is allowing baseball to have like this renaissance, it's that they're pumping so much money into baseball, and like even then they're not, like there's so many underreported owners, like wealth, so like all these guys are billionaires. Like there's not one single baseball owner who is not a billionaire. Don't care what the stats say, yes they are. So like, we don't have to do this, but here we are doing this. So like, it's going to take two to tango, and I don't think either one of them really want to dance. So here we are.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the best way to put it. It's like both sides are dug in, and that's why we know that this labor stoppage is, you know, more so inevitable as opposed to, you know, a possibility. It would really take something in you know, the bottom of the ninth, no pun intended, to get this done. So, Malik, I'm going to go to you. How you feeling about the labor talks right now, bro? And where do you think this is headed? I mean, well, we know where it's headed. How bad do you think this is getting? Do you think we can lose a full season? I know last time we thought a full season, but, and, you know, it ended up being a few months, but it's a possibility this one could really wipe out 2027, man. How you feeling?
Yeah, I won't say too much because Sid, he said it perfectly. But man, I feel like the salary cap is what's going to be the biggest difference between the last two negotiations. 60 games, barely even half a season. I don't consider that half a season. I wish I only got to go there for 2 months out of this long grind that is a Major League Baseball season. We haven't even got into the prime summer months. So I do think that as far apart as the sides are and has – I mean, for the players, it's deeper than just what's coming for the guys in the future. It's about the guys in the past who worked this hard to get these mega deals, these $500-300 million contracts to be like, hey, man, you guys can't be the last group. You're not leaving it better than you found it if you end in a decrease. I do understand that I feel like right now baseball has a lot of parity in terms of championships. When you look at it, maybe it does come through smaller, or maybe it does come through a majority of the major market teams. But I look at divisions like, and maybe it's not the best parity. I'm not saying like, I mean, I the American League, for instance, with what, 2-3 teams over 500 right now. The American League West is going to be a good battle through the end of the year. The Central, we have, you know, Guardians are up, White Sox are in it. But I can't just keep out, you know, I can't just kick Cleveland down. I feel like it's like that in a lot of these divisions. There's three teams always in there for the American League East. So I do think it's in a good spot. But then I do think that some teams on that lower market, they're just a few players away and some more money being spent. But ultimately, I'm speaking good energy into the world that we get at least the 60 if it does come down to it. But yeah, the sides are far apart.
And you know, this is definitely me being selfish when I saw the list, because you know, if somebody told Jerry Reinsdorf if he has to spend $80 million, you know, I could do something with $80 million right now. You know, I could do something with $80 million right now. You know,
yeah, like.
I got a lot of young players. I just need some pitchers. Shoot, I can go get me a schoolboy. You know, I could make some moves.
Hey, I was looking at the same thing. I'm sitting here looking at the teams who are at this super low number. I'm like, yo, like, they got to add $100 million to this pay. Like,
imagine the Rays got to spend $100 million.
Imagine the Pirates had to spend more money.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think the Rays payroll will be higher if you know, the Prodigy wasn't a sex offender. But that's a completely different story.
I look at Kansas City, a team like Kansas City that did nothing to help that pitching staff, nothing to help.
Bobby Witt's playing out of his mind.
Yeah,
as usual.
Oh, yeah, they a solid group of hitters, but they did nothing to help with that pitching staff at all. They add somebody in there. That could be the difference between them beating a team like the Yankees, who do spend that money and also develop players the same way that the Royals develop players. And, you know, winning and losing.
Yeah, man, you're absolutely right. And so, you know, I mean, just like the excitement we got right there, just talking about, you know, young players and possibilities, you would hate to see that ruined by a work stoppage, man. But right now it's looking like both sides are really dug in. And we're going to see where this goes, but it doesn't look good. We all have high hopes. We all love this great game. But at the end of the day, we see more, you know, private equity coming into baseball. A lot more, you know, blatant talks about the spreadsheet and how to cut ties here and there. You've seen in the other league, in the NBA, what the new Trailblazers owner has done. He did the same thing with the Carolina Hurricanes. And so it's a guy that's just insanely cheap, which is insane to say for a billionaire, but he's more so black and white with the way he spends his money. And that is a new mentality that's coming into sports. And now we're going to see that once again, you know, in labor breakdowns. And so I think it's going to be interesting, man. That's the best way to put it right now. It's interesting. But, you know, to get on to our next topic, we're going to flip it a little bit. We talked about the trade market. You know, teams are starting to show more who they are. We see it now. You know, you have teams like the Chicago White Sox and Pittsburgh Pirates who are firmly in the thick of things now as we head toward All-Star break. All-Stars, you know, about a month and a week ago, a little to give or take. So, I think it's July 10th, so a month and a couple of days. But we have some pieces that could possibly be moves. We know Skubal is the big name. You know, people want to see him start a couple times just to see if he's healthy for the possibility. I know I'm joking when I talk about a AL Central trade with those two teams, but that's a guy who's a big fish. I still think Sandy down in Miami can be had for the right price. Now, that's somebody I think Chicago would be interested in simply because, you know, you have team control next year and you know, you get a little more stability in that rotation. I think with the White Sox, not to go on a rant here, but I will a little bit. You've seen they can hit the ball. Like, this is a team, they're going to score runs. Even in this right now, which is the toughest stretch of the schedule, they put up runs against the Phillies and the bullpen let them down. We see the back end, Grant Taylor lights out. I think, you know, we've been talking about him, the possibilities of him being a starter for a couple of years. No. Let's leave him right there. Leave him in that velocity and that movement right there in the ninth inning. Because, you know, having to deal with a guy like that after 8 innings of baseball, it's going to be tough for any lineup. So I think, you know.
Mason Miller.
Yes, you're really starting to see that type of stuff, that type of flash from him. So I think that's somebody you leave alone. And so we saw Hagen Smith might be called up soon. So you have, again, Noah Schultz. Knee, he was on the IL. He's on his way back. He still has some slight soreness, but pitching help is on the way. But the market is there for some teams that may be sellers. You know, you have the San Francisco Giants. You have a Logan Webb who may be available. I mean, I'm just throwing names out there. I'm spitballing here. You have pieces that will be available for some of the team control, and you have a team like the White Sox and the Pirates again, who they don't have much payroll as is. And so next season, if you do have a next season, if we go, even if it's, so if we avoid a lockout, there's no salary cap, but they bring in the rules where if you spend under a certain amount, you get penalized. These are teams that their payrolls are pretty much bare next year. I know the Benintendi deal, I believe, comes off the White Sox books next year. He's the highest paid player. His contract is $75 million. So, I mean, it's one of those situations where You now have teams who have money to spend. So you may, you know, try to get that team control or even go for a short-term rental that you may lock in. So where do you guys feel Skubal may go? And, well, first of all, the Tigers have said they're not going to be sellers, but I don't buy that. I just don't when you know he's not coming back. So where do you feel he's going to go? And what are some other names that you all are looking at? Malik, I'll start with you.
There's only a certain crop of teams I think should trade for Skubal. And I think it's legit. Do I have a shot to win a World Series this year? When I think of teams like that, of course, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Of course, the New York Yankees, because they're the New York Yankees. Whether they did or not, they have to go for it. Tampa Bay Rays and Milwaukee Brewers. I think those guys can afford, because you got to think, you're not getting Skubal back next year. Wherever he goes – And I just think if he goes to the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers can win in free agency. He's hitting free agency wherever he goes. So you can't risk so many future assets for me to be like, we have to be a Skubal away. A team like the Seattle Mariners as well, I could see them going for him. And like you said, Dante, I don't believe that they have a good team. It's still a good team there. We saw Shohei Ohtani end up staying, and we saw the Angels buy they brought in like three or four bats, two or three of them got hurt in like 2 weeks. But nevertheless, they tried knowing he wasn't going to come back. But yeah, I think it's those five teams should be the ones all in on Skubal. Two other guys I'll mention that I think should get moved during the trade deadline. I got to see the Kansas City Royals a few weeks ago out here in Arlington. Walker got roughed up a little bit in that start, but he's been solid besides that. ERA under 3.4. I think after that Tarik Skubal sweepstakes kind of dies down, that's when you're going to see the guys like that, or, you know, maybe they offload off Jack Flaherty for the fourth time. But I think Waka, he's a solid underrated number. I actually looked at his stats. ERA has been under three for like the last six, seven seasons. 14 year vet. Good guy. And then I'm hearing the rumblings out there in Arizona. I don't know who's putting these rumors out about Ketel Marte. They had him coming off last winter. Rumors coming out now about how he's sitting games against teams. He's sitting games versus Otani. People a little disgruntled with that. I'm out here covering this Texas Rangers team, and I know the production wasn't there, but there was no upgrade made from Marcus Semien. You could have done that over the offseason with Ketel Marte. I think that bat changes the lineup of a team with a solid pitching staff. I think Ketel Marte to the Rangers is a great move. And for, like I said, for Michael Waka, whoever loses out on those Scuba sweepstakes, or if the Tigers are, you know, trying to have you held on to the last minute, throw a little bit of change over there and go bring Waka, a veteran pitcher, to be a three or four in the playoffs.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a lot of options. I think you're going to see more arms being moved. I know a lot of teams, you know, you have a lot of teams who will go get a bat, you know. But right now, when you look at the run differentials around the league, you know, the best teams in the league, they score a lot of runs. So in this day and age, you're going to see guys looking for arms, looking for bullpen help. You know, you've heard that the Aroldis Chapman is possibly on the move again. I believe this would be like his eighth or ninth team, something crazy. But, I mean, you talk about a hired gun. That's a guy who's going to come in and be lights out on the back end of that bullpen. People have talked about the Braves possibly getting greedy and going to grab him. I don't think that's anything that you could really, really hear. That was more so Twitter talk, simply because you already have the best bullpen in baseball right now. And I'll get into that in our last segment to close. I know Sid is going to love that. But Sid, talk to me, man. Trade deadline. What we got? How we feeling?
You're a White Sox fan, so I don't care. Like,
I mean, but the team I cover is doing well as well, so I have to throw that in your face.
You
but
just
I mean,
sound so much happier to talk about the White Sox, and like,
I mean, there's always going to be a childlike joy talking about
the you team know, like it's just what like I haven't heard you talk that kindly about the White Sox since I've met you. This is like it's been like 5 years. It's been
yes,
five.
Like, it's been a struggle, but we are back. We are now back.
I love it. Oh man. The Padres, I'm thinking they're sellers. Like they're falling off a cliff offensively. I don't want to say like, hey, kick the tires on Fernando Tatis, but like he's a platinum glover, and again, they're trying to like cut payroll and they're playing him at like second base instead of left field or right field or anywhere in the outfield, and he still hasn't hit a home run this year. So like it might be time to, you know, for it to be time. I think that's something to look out for after the Scooble sweepstakes, because God knows where he's going. That's not LA. Yeah, I can't even think of like people who would have the farm capital plus the want, except maybe the Brewers. And like, even then, I don't think that's a very Brewers like thing to do. Like they tend to rely on their system and their farm system, and making sure that they're shored up that way, and don't really take the big trade unless like it's for like a really young star, like they did with Christian Yelich. But yeah, I think that's really it between them and the Dodgers. And even then, I still like where the Mets are. So we're only five games out of the wild card right now. So I'm feeling pretty good.
Yes. Yes. You know, five games out. Summer's about to start. We know how that goes in this division. Things get crazy. Things, you know, can get a little ridiculous at times. So there's definitely room for improvement. And, you know, the Phillies are playing well. But there's a certain team down here in Atlanta that is playing incredible. Like, I think that's the best way to put it. And that's how we're going to close the show tonight. We're going to talk about the Atlanta Braves, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, the best team in baseball, without question. And this is without, you know, Ronald Acuña. He finally woke up last month, but you're talking about their best player has not been his usual self. Now, who has been amazing, and I'm about to read his numbers off real quick for you, is Mr. Matt Olson. Ladies and gentlemen, we can officially put the Freddie Freeman talk to bed. We can let that go. We should have let it go a couple years ago. But MLB Iron Man. We've talked about this on this show. The numbers have only gotten better since we last talked about this man on this show. Let me grab Matt Olson's numbers real quick. We're talking about in 290 plate appearances, 66 games. Of course, he's played every game this season. It's Matt Olson. What are we talking about? OPS is 147.
Jeez.
OPS plus, excuse me, 147. His OPS is 877. Talking about a guy who has 28 walks. He has 17 home runs. He has 19 doubles. 69 hits. Now, you know what's crazy? He's tied for first place on the team, but of course he's not tied for first place on the team with MVP and freak of nature Ronald Acuña Jr. Can you guess who is tied for the lead in hits on this team with Mr. Matt Olson? Can anybody tell me? Anybody?
Ozzie Albies.
Absolutely correct. Ozzie Albies has been hitting the shit out of baseball.
Yeah, he's finally healthy.
Wrist is fine. The wrist is fine.
Well, everything. Like, Ozzie Albies has been so unhealthy since, like, 2023. Since 2022, 2023. And, yeah, like, he's one of my favorite players to watch. Like, not even, like, from a hate watch down. Like, I love watching Ozzie Albies play.
And you know who's one hit behind him? One hit behind him. We talk about, you know, a guy who got off to a slow start last year, has some little nagging injuries here and there. This year he's back. He's in the building. He, you know, had a little sore back a couple days ago, but he's back.
Money Mike?
Michael Harris the second. Yeah. 68 hits, baby. 68 hits. Playing a gold glove center field. Man, 13 home runs, 40 RBIs. His OPS is 863, OPS plus a 144. As a matter of fact, let's look at some of these OPSs on the Atlanta Braves. And I didn't even mention Drake Baldwin, who's on the 10-day IL. I haven't mentioned Drake. Sean Murphy broke his finger. He's back on the IL. So we're talking about a team that's still dealing with some injuries. Kim came back and has been playing not very well, but you know who has been playing well? The guy who was thrown away, essentially, by the Houston Astros, Mauricio. Mauricio has been amazing for the Braves. Like, it's actually ridiculous, you know, doing the thing defensively, but also hitting the ball. He's been hitting the ball really well lately. Let's talk about these OPS pluses real quick for the Braves. Like I said, Drake Baldwin, who he has only played 48 games, 216 plate appearances, but he has an OPS plus of 164. He was leading the catchers in every major category for a while. Fall off a little bit, you know, but now when he comes back, we'll see, you know, another amazing bat in this lineup. Matt Olson, OPS plus, like I said, 147. Ozzie Albies, OPS 120. Mauricio is 108, so it's above average. But defensively, and if you're watching the games, this is a guy where the analytics don't really tell you the whole story of what he does for this ball club. Michael Harris, 144. Ronald Acuña Jr., like I said, not his normal self, but the OPS plus is still 129. So he's on his way. He's well on his way. Dominic Smith. Talk about a guy.
A true journeyman.
Probably wouldn't have had a job had the Braves not had a player get suspended for 162 games. He who shall remain nameless. But
he was even on the team. Oh, wow.
We all did. Not only has Dominic performed, I mean, you know, remained with the team, he's performed, bro. He's really played extremely well in the limited at bats he's gotten. He's only gotten 140 ABs, but he's been amazing.
All-time favorite Met. I'm glad he's finding the power. There was a time where Dom Smith was, I think he had gone two seasons playing with the Mets without a home run. And like, it got really bad, really fast. And he came up along with Pete Alonso, and it was the offensive guy and the defensive guy. And so seeing Dom Smith play well is always a treat. Like, yes. That's a guy who, good guy, good hooper for sure. Yes.
Before I toss it to you all, you know, close this out a little bit. Just so you know, the Atlanta Braves, dead record. Like I said, 45-21, first place in the NL East, best record in baseball. Their playoff odds right now, according to Baseball Reference, are 99.9. I love stuff like that. They are 12.7% chances to win the World Series. Walt Weiss, got to be manager of the year, in my opinion. I understand you have a couple teams playing better. Yankees were playing great for a second. But in between Walt Weiss and the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, whose name I do not know right now. I'm not going to try to sit here and butcher it. But I do think Walt Weiss is a guy who will get the bulk of the votes for manager of the year. A lot of people had Craig Counsell at the beginning of the year, but you know, the Cubs are falling off a cliff a little bit. They're teetering back toward 500, right next to the Chicago White Sox, who are, you know, above 500, one of those few teams that Sid mentioned in the American League that are actually above 500. We are. But yes, the Atlanta Braves, man, off to an incredible pace, back to being the machine that we saw them be, you know, this past few years. Now, I don't get too happy. I enjoy the fact that they are in first place, but at the same time, this is the same team that we saw, you know, obliterate the league, take that week off as a one seed, and then they came back and they lost, you know, in the playoffs pretty quickly in pretty convincing fashion. So, Sid, how are you feeling about this, Mets aside? How are you feeling about this Braves team? And, oh, before I pass it, I know I'll usually leave the stats to you all, but, I mean, the Braves, the way they've been playing, I just got to read these numbers. Best bullpen in baseball. So, here we have the best NL ERAs as a reliever. Minimum 20 innings. So, pretty good. Like I said, pretty good so far. Robert Suarez, 0.63. He plays for the Braves. Rossiel Iglesias, 0.87. He plays for the Braves. Number three, Mason Miller. We know who he plays for, 1.01. Dylan Lee, 1.17. He plays for the Braves. Didier Fuentes, and this one, I got to talk about him for a second. 1.17 ERA, got his first save yesterday. And this is the kid that's 20 years old, is going to be one of the eight. He's going to be the next ace of this Braves staff. Let's be crystal clear. I know we got Schwellenbach on the way. They got Waldrop coming back. Both guys are pitching now, throwing off flat ground, getting better, coming back. But let me tell you about this kid right here. The way Walt Weiss has been using him this year has been amazing. In the bullpen, letting him stretch it out certain games. But now Walt has been putting him in these situations and saying, okay, let's see what you can do. And when you go back, if you get a chance, I know we all have the MLB pass. If you're listening, you probably got it too. Go back and watch that save. Watch how he closed that game out. That kid is going to be somebody. And then we're going to leave it at that. And now I'm going to pass it to you, Sid, because I'm done talking pretty much for the rest of the episode. How do you feel about the NL East and about the Braves and everything you've seen so far? All hate aside, if you can do that, you know, for a few minutes.
Yeah, of course.
You got the Knicks tonight, so you should be in a good mood.
Hey, man. I don't hate the Braves all the time. I call Larry by his first name, but I certainly don't hate the Braves. They're good. Like I said, they're one of those teams that are, you know, they're the sum of all their parts, and it's really hard to beat teams like that. But their pitching staff looks great during the regular season, doesn't it? Fantastic, I know. Jeremy Hefner, I've seen it. Good luck. Good luck. Chris Bassett, Max Scherzer, Jacob DeGrom, Sean Manaea, David Peterson, Kodai Senga. I've seen them all piss down their legs with Jeremy Hefner at the helm for pitching. Good luck.
You know, you guys have been telling us that, but I will say this, though. We got a Chris Sale at home. Chris Sale. Talk about a guy. And I'm going a little bit here, but Chris Sale was a guy that a lot of people thought it might be over. Anytime there was a time, you know, when he first got here, coming straight from Boston, if he wasn't, you know, pumping 99 all game like he used to, oh, is he issues? He's the same. But he's showing you time and time again. You always know how excited I get about guys who can actually pitch. And he is one of the last of the old dogs, a true pitcher, who's like, I can throw 99, but if I do that all game, how effective am I going to be? And so you've seen him continue to dominate, you know, at 37 years old, bro. He's 37. Like, I think people don't, you know, say that a lot. But
Max Scherzer, the exact same thing.
Hey, also, talk about a guy who, you know, worked with Greg Maddux during the offseason, started throwing his cutter more, Bryce Elder. Bryce Elder used to get much slander. Bryce Elder is pitching really well. And these guys have been playing so well, you haven't really, you know, locked in on the fact that Spencer Strider hasn't really, you know, been as dominant as he used to be. He's been playing well. He's, you know, you look at the, you know, wins and losses, he's 4-1. So the Braves are doing well in games that he starts. But that hasn't been the old Spencer Strider. If that was the case, it's no telling what his team would be.
Oh, yeah.
But
It's all good. In terms of how I feel about that, like, of course, they're at this point, it's hard to not say they're not going to run away with the NL East. You know, I think the bottom two teams will be the bottom two teams, as they typically are. And then the Mets, they're five games out of the wild card right now. It got early late, but then it gets early again. And, you know, I think the Mets are a good enough baseball team, all things considered, to actually make a playoff push. Like, not even talking about the fact that Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto have only played 9 games together this year. And then Carson Benj was a completely different player when Francisco Lindor was healthy and Juan Soto was out, and now AJ Ewing is here. And so, you know, I think we're gearing up for a fun summer in the NL East as per usual.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Malik, bro, take us home, man. How you feeling about just everything you've seen with the Braves? I know they came down to Texas this year, right?
No, I haven't seen them this year, but I will say last year at the end of the All-Star break, they were one of the first series out there. Me and Money Mike, we chopped it up, and since then he's hitting 300. He's balling like you were saying. I'm liking what I was seeing. I was hearing coming in the offseason that he was a guy that could win that MVP. He was a high second round pick, but he was a high pick for a reason. And it's good to see him playing well. And yeah, sneaky when Acuna isn't your best player, and you guys are still doing as good as you are. But you named every player, but I wanted to talk about Mauricio Dubon and Dom Smith. They're giving me the vibes of Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, was it Rosario?
Yeah.
Back in the day, those were kind of mid-season additions for the most part. But just guys that, you know, veteran bats who, you know, a lot of these guys are great at baseball, you know, whether they're not everybody's hitting it like Aaron Judge, but there are a lot of good players in the game. A guy like Dubon, I remember 2 or 3 years ago, the way he was playing, you look at the stats, you're like, man, this guy, he's puts up the stats at the All-Star. He might not be ripping 30 home runs, but hell, man, you hitting high 300s, you're playing solid defense. But it's good to see him and Dom Smith, especially what Dom went through over the offseason, see them producing. And it's given me a lot of those, hey, man, come in, if you guys, you know, get nicked up, maybe you guys shouldn't be here, but you're contributing. And, it's looking real good. But like I will say, it's a long season. And like Sid said, maybe there is that dominant starting pitcher that they could go get. So we keep pushing back questions of, oh, does this starting rotation have it in the playoffs? Because you already know, you're going to have to compete if the Phillies or whether the Phillies or Mets make it. You know, you're going to have a strong series against them. But the big bad Dodgers, who we didn't discuss this show, like they do on every show, but Shohei Ohtani's playing out of his mind. Mookie Betts isn't doing much. But they're having one of the best offensive seasons in baseball history. So you're going to have to pitch versus them. And I like you guys' chances in terms of the lineup right now for sure.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I don't know if they have the capital to do it, but if you can tell me, I have Scooble and Chris Sale, which means – you're going to have to face them game 4 and 7 in some capacity, possibly both if we get to a game 7. That's just how it's going to, you know, unfold. It's going to be nasty, bro. It's going to be nasty. It's a situation where I think, you know, we've seen people write the article already, but it's true. I'm not just, you know, repeating it because I saw it. School can be that CC Sabathia type. Trade deadline pickup for a team and, you know, spark something. You know, it was supposed to happen in Detroit, but it's looking like it probably won't. So,
he will be like, regardless. I mean, shit. Even if he doesn't get traded, just him coming back to the Tigers and him being
He's already throwing bullpens and minor league games and shit. Yeah.
He had his game in his, I don't know, fat suit yesterday or Sunday, I should say.
Yeah,
bulletproof vest. He's pitching in, but he knows what's on. I think he knows what's on the line. I think stay healthy, show these teams.
Generational bread.
Yes.
Yeah, son. Get a bag.
Hey, as crazy, Boris, he's like, hey, I'll walk in. I don't care how crazy I sound. $500 some crazy amount of money is going on the table for that first, for that initial offer. And he's like, hey, man, we can sit this out as long as we can wait. But you close out this season nice for me. You stay healthy. You got a chance at it.
Nah, you're not wrong, bro. You're not wrong. It's gonna get, those numbers are gonna get ungodly. But we're gonna just see how the CBA plays out. The deadline's gonna be exciting, and of course, the Atlanta Braves. I think this is the year they actually are gonna run away with the NL East. I know we always talk about the summer and all of that, but I think this is a team, you know, health permitting. This is gonna be a really good run. So, I mean, once again, we are back with the three-man weave. One day, Courtney's going to be back. She was texting in the chat, so one day she'll be back. But for now, man, it's me, October Zonte. You know where to find me at. Malik, Sid, man, thank you so much. Everybody, enjoy Game 3 tonight. We're actually going to drop the audio for this tonight. So you can listen to this if you're one of those people that like to, you know, mute the TV. Sid is throwing up the four. He's saying Knicks in four. I would love that.
Not hear Richard Jefferson.
I just hope the vibes are what they need to be in the garden. Now, you know where to find us. Barber's Chair Cole on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network, man. And for everything else, make sure you check out the bcnet.com. Like I said, I'm Dante Miles. You know where to catch us, man. High and outside. We'll be back next week.